indeed a very happy Mother's Day to all of you. There it is. Blue Jays Talk, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Give us a call. It's been a while since we've gathered. 590, 590 is a text line as well. As I said, it's been a while since we've gathered. A lot has happened. The Jays have lost 3 of 4 to the Cleveland Guardians, capped off, by this afternoon's 4-3 loss to the Guardians. They've also, surprise, surprise, actually had a game where they scored 8 runs and managed to win. That was in game one of yesterday's doubleheader, an 8-3 win. 2 games back for Teoscar Hernandez, at least 2 games in the lineup. The Jays have lost both of those. So Teoscar is back. Danny Jansen's about a week away. Hyunjin Ryu could be available to start on the weekend in Tampa. So as I said, we have a ton to talk about. You want to talk about Teoscar? I'll ask you, what would you do with Ross Stripling and Hyunjin Ryu? Now, we've talked about Ryu coming back. I don't think you lose your spot in the team because of injury. But even though he took the loss yesterday, Ross Stripling, I'll just say this, I've got more confidence in Ross Stripling right now than I do in Hyunjin Ryu. So as I said, a ton of stuff to talk about. Kevin, let's get going. Let's talk about today's game. Let's get rid of the bullpen questions. The Jays losing 4-3. Tim Mesa giving up a home run to Owen Miller. And I'm sure there are people out there going lefty, righty, lefty, righty, lefty, righty. Owen Miller, Kevin, crushes righties.
He does. He does. He hits .435 against righties. He hits .182 against lefties coming into today. And also he hits .474 against the breaking ball. Now, if you're thinking along in that at bat, okay, we'll say that you left Tim Mesa in the game to face Owen Miller. Now, Owen Miller's not exactly, a guy that's going to come up and you think is going to hit a bunch of home runs. So if you make a decent pitch on him, you're probably going to get him out, or you'll have a decent chance of letting him get himself out. But we always talk about count leverage. Count leverage can be defined in a couple of different ways. Count leverage is one of those things where you lay off a tough pitcher's pitch, you get into a fastball hitter's count, you can guess along, you can get your mechanics started a little sooner. That's count leverage. Well, you're watching that at bat, and I'm Owen Miller, and I'm sitting here going, okay, I just had Tim Mesa get ahead of me with 2 sliders. He was non-competitive with the next 2 sinkers that he threw me. It's a 2-2 count. Now, Jeff, I'm not the smartest guy or the sharpest tool in the tool shed, but if you're a guesser and you won't think about getting count leverage, if you're Owen Miller, what are you looking for? I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a slider. Now, if you're Tim Mesa knows my slider's been good all year. Haven't given up a hit all year going into that at bat on my slider. Probably going to throw it. Now, if it's a better slider, maybe more back foot than down the middle, Owen Miller's probably out. But point being is, when you're in those situations, when you're late in the game, when you're facing a right-handed hitter and you're a left-handed pitcher, sometimes you got to go outside the norm. And for me, I would have loved to have seen him throw another sinker. And then if you miss with the sinker again, now you can maybe back foot a slider, because if you don't, Adam Simber's going to come in the game regardless of what you do in that at bat. So for me, I think Kirk could have maybe been on a better page and thought along a little bit more with the way I was thinking. But again, this is the armchair quarterback in me playing and thinking, you know, that sometimes you got to do things that you normally don't do. And that's one of those times. Again, on the flip side of that, do you bring Adam Simber in to face Owen Miller? That's the big question. If you think righty on righty and Charlie messed up, I guess you could think that too.
Yeah, although, again, clearly the numbers would suggest that you take your chances with the lefty against Miller. I guess the only thought is with Adam Simber. Kevin, Tim Mesa hasn't given up a hit all year in a slider. He gives up a home run and a slider. I mean, I think you really got to be, man, you really got to be looking for excuses, or you've really got to be looking for things to blame Charlie for if you're hanging this on him leaving Tim Mesa in there. I think in most people's mind, Tim Mesa, yeah, Tim Mesa's kind of your setup guy.
It ain't Tim Mesa or Charlie's fault that they're scoring 3 runs a game or no. What was it, 3.9 runs a game. You think you're going to win the American League East doing that? Now, again, I know it's early, small sample size, but you're starting to still see guys when they get good pitches to hit for whatever reason, Jeff, good fastball hitters look like they're late, consistently on the heater. Tell me why that is. The only reason when I was playing that I was late on a heater is because I was looking for something else. Why consistently do really good hitters, now occasionally hitting in the middle of the order, this day and age, you got to go up maybe and look for something spinning, but not all the time. For me, I'm hunting a hater, and a lot of the times you go down the list, go look at the lineup and pick a guy. Occasionally, or a lot of the times, they look like they're late on fastballs and fastball counts. Why is that consistently happening? And for me, with the teams they're about to play in the Yankees and the Rays, let me tell you something. You better get it down, get it singing, or you're going to fall a little bit further behind in the standings. And again, with these good teams, Red Sox are doing you a little bit of favor by being whatever that. What are they, 10-19 now, or some ridiculous number? Yeah, the Rays have starting to find their flow and finding who they are as a team and as an organization, like they always do. The Yankees are, who knows what the Yankees are doing, but it's time for this team offensively to start scoring some runs and having better at-bats. It would be okay to watch this team scoring 4 runs a game if they were having good at-bats, but they're just consistently not having those, and it makes you scratch your head a little bit.
They did score 8 runs in the first game of the doubleheader yesterday, although it was interesting. They scored 8 runs on a night where Bo went 0-for-5 with 2 strikeouts. Vladdy went 1-for-4 with a walk, and then they came back and they lost the next game.
Let's be honest.
To 2.
If the Guardians had not walked 10 Jays, they ain't scoring 8 runs. You know it, right. And I know it.
Right.
So let's be honest.
But on the other hand, there have been times this year where the Jays haven't been able to cash in walked batters. I look at this game, Kevin, and yes, the Jays took the lead on a line drive sacrifice, actually a sinking liner sacrifice fly by George Springer that scored Santiago Espinal in the 7th inning. But Kevin, going beyond that first inning, you looked like it looked like something was happening for the Blue Jays. They score 2 runs. They have the bases loaded. Matt Chapman strikeout swinging, his first of 4 strikeouts, 2 looking, 2 swinging. Santiago Espinal flies out, and at that point Connor Pilkington gets into a groove, and the Jays really didn't have a whole hell of a lot going on after that. Couple of ground balls, fielder's choices, as I said, until Santiago Espinal doubled to lead off the 7th and ended up scoring on a sacrifice fly. But your point is well made. And Matt Chapman, Kevin, what are you seeing from Matt Chapman? Because that was at a couple of those at-bats I would frankly classify as non-competitive at-bats. I'll just be blunt.
Yeah, that's fair. You could probably say that. I just mentioned when you look at these guys hitting in big time situations, and you wonder to yourself, why does it look like they're always late? Matt Chapman, for me anyway, looks like it. Now, I can't get between his ears, and I have no idea. I'm just going by what I see. And a power hitting guy that you would think wouldn't be so much stuck between being aggressive and being passive. Is that sort of what you're seeing? Because that's what I see a lot is he just doesn't really know if he wants to swing or not. And for a guy that's, you know, as smart as he is and has as much information, maybe too much information, that's why he's in between a lot. And, you know, is a guy that can drive the baseball in the big part of the field. A lot of the times just looks like he's in between with whether he wants to swing or not. And mechanically, his hands come with his front foot. And when you do that, you play a lot of catch up. You can see his takes, Jeff. I talk to you about this all the time because I used to be one of these guys. Whenever I would have issues, My hands would follow my front side, and whenever they would follow the front side, my front foot would hit the ground. I'd play catch up with my hands, and when you see his takes, his hands look like they're dropping below his belt, and he's playing catch up trying to get them back up. That's exactly what I look like. That's the only reason that I'd sort of honed in on that, and today you could sort of see that. So a combination of both of those things, and quite frankly, where he's hitting in the order, he's going to get a ton of chances, especially if Alejandro Kirk starts hitting and starts, you know, using the entire field and starts walking occasionally and is on base a lot, and we know what guys are going to do in front of him, he's going to be one of those guys that have to have a few more better at bats, especially early in the game, right? That bases loaded K on the two breaking balls that he got that he looked like he was late on, the fastball that he didn't have a chance on, that was a little elevated. Those are, for me, at bats that got to get better. And question you got to ask yourself is, how do they get better? How do you make adjustments? Do you move on the plate? Do you try different things? It's a little too early to panic, but these are guys, right, that need to sort of step up when they need to step up. And if not, it's going to be tough for this pitching staff to continue to do the things they're doing. They're carrying the team, quite frankly.
Teoscar Hernandez had a two-run single part of that first inning. That is his second game back, Kevin. I think a lot of us thought that the return of Teoscar Hernandez would address a lot of these situations. Clearly, it's not necessarily going to be instantaneous. But what is your read on Teoscar Hernandez? What did you see in these two games from Teoscar Hernandez in terms of where his swing is at? And I thought, you know, it was interesting. Ben Wagner asked Pat a point. We always kind of, or asked Pat an interesting question. We always kind of talk about how you need to see 100 at bats before a guy's really ready to start the season. Is that the same thing for you when a guy is on the DL? In other words, Teoscar's behind guys in the team because he's been on the DL for so long.
He did have some at-bats in Florida, which is going to help him. He's one of those guys that's refined his lower half. Now it's not a leg kick. Now it's not harder for him to mechanically get the foot down and get in an athletic position. He has that little knee turn. He raises his heel off the ground, which is going to help him drive down and through the baseball, which will help his timing. He looks exactly like a guy supposed to look. A little bit late on the heater and out in front of the breaking ball. That's sort of the way he looks. The single that he got up that he hit up the middle for the base hit with the bases loaded, that's an off-speed pitch he's out in front of, but he stayed through it so well, exactly what he does, that he gives him a chance to hit a ball and stay through it enough to barrel it up and maybe have some success doing it. I got to be honest with you. If I'm Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I think I've had enough of being pitched to the way I've been pitched to. We've seen this about 15 games in a row where all they do is throw him nothing but away. He hits a line drive to right center field. Why do you think the center fielders move to the right center field gap, Jeff? It's because that's exactly where they're throwing. For me, crowd the plate, get it down early, donkey punch one of those balls, hit that thing in the 40th deck. They won't do that thing anymore. So for me, it's up to those two guys, right? It's up to sort of that middle of the order to make some adjustments and make them a little bit quicker. Do some things you normally wouldn't do just to try and help your team get a little hotter, a little quicker, so you can score some runs, take some pitcher off of poor little Charlie. You see him over there about the fifth inning when the starter's doing what the starter's doing. He's scratching his head. He's looking at Petey going, how are we going to piece this thing together so we can win a one-run game?
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays, 4-3 losers to the Cleveland Guardians. They have tomorrow off. They'll start a two-game series on Tuesday in the Bronx. Then they go on to play Tampa Bay. The Rays have moved in front of the Blue Jays in the standings. Not that we really care about that at this particular point in time, but it is nonetheless a fact. Kevin, the big at-bat, I suppose, for Alek Manoah today, the triple that Jose Ramirez hit, a hustling triple that got the Guardians on the scoreboard. Not the smoothest day for Alek Manoah, that second inning, 29 pitches, but he got through it. The wind play has some issues and some fly balls a little bit today, more so yesterday. What did you see from Alek Manoah?
He didn't like the baseball. You could tell he would grab it and chuck it. You could tell the grip of the baseballs. He was rubbing them up. He's walking around the mound a little bit more than you're used to seeing him walking around the mound trying to figure out the grip. Looked to me like he's throwing a few more 12-6 sliders instead of that side-to-side. That might have something to do with the wind you're mentioning. You know, if that thing's swirling the way it looked like it was swirling and you saw guys trying to run after pop flies the way they were running after him, what do you think it's going to do to a 79-mile-an-hour slider? It's going to move it around a little bit. Absolutely. Maybe he has to. And you saw him a couple of times really trying to, more than usual, really think about getting it out there and snapping it off, just because maybe he's thinking along with that wind. And I don't want to make excuses for him again. He's never going to make excuses for himself. But just what we've seen in the past and what it's looked like today and what you sort of thought he was trying to go through out there to maybe figure out ways to at least give his team a chance to win. You know, sometimes this is the way he's going to look too. He is a 285-pound, 6'7" human. Like, you know, things occasionally just don't add up. Like, you know, the something's out in front, something's lagging behind, and when it's doing something it's not supposed to be doing, you're going to see one or maybe two of his pitches all over the place. His sinker was decent. His elevated four-seamer was decent. His slider was non-existent. All of those things equal, he gave you five innings.
Billy in Markham. Again, the number is 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Billy in Markham, you're going where I was going to go next. I was going to throw Kevin out. I was going to throw this fact to Kevin and asked him if he was surprised that the best team in the American League with baseballs and running with runners in scoring position, who is that, Billy?
Well, that's the Cleveland Indians.
Guardians, close.
Cleveland Guardians. Sorry. My bad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Listen, guys, first of all, I just want to say this to Kevin. Kevin, my God, man. I mean, I cannot tell you how impressed I've been with you for about the last four or five shows. I haven't even bothered to call in or tried to call in because everything that I have thought, you have thought. Not that I'm right, but my God, do you explain it? And Kevin, you too, but sorry, Jeff, you too. But my God, I cannot tell you how improved you are. And not to say that you were bad, but my God, Kevin, you can tell you've played this game. I really like the way you're going. And you're not afraid to criticize. I just love that. I mean, boost the Blue Jays if we can, but don't be afraid to rip into them if they're doing the wrong thing. But the reason for my call is, like you said, Jeff, very simply put, that is old-time baseball by the Cleveland Indians. They're not going to win the World Series. They're not going to make the playoffs. But my God, did I love their approach to this whole series. And to a certain extent, the Blue Jays will do this also. The Blue Jays will go the other way. The one thing that I'm noticing in baseball a lot is that hitters are getting themselves out. Is it automatic that you swing 2-0 or 3-1? Is all the baseball ambushing? I can't tell you how many guys are swinging at strike three, sliders off the plate. Sorry, not strike three, ball three. In those situations, we've mentioned this before. You are keyholing them. You can't be swinging at a slider 2-0 off the plate when the count is 2-0. All through baseball, you've got to have better approaches. One question I want to ask you, and then sure, give me a quick chance to respond.
No.
Our second baseman. What do you think of him? Like, he is now beaten out. He is now beaten out. Kevin Biggio. He plays, to me, great, great defense. Good little clutch hitter. What do you think of him? Is he our starting second baseman for the future?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'll jump in here first because I was looking at his numbers yesterday when I was doing a column. He's second in baseball in defensive runs saved. Going into this series, was third in the Blue Jays in extra base hits. He's the second baseman. I don't care if he bats right, left, or in between. I really don't care. Billy, I don't know how you feel, but man, and Bark, I'll bring you in too. He's my second baseman. Like, there's some stuff I want to see this team do to get better, but I'd like them to leave him at second base.
Okay, I'll take it a step further. Here's where we rattle the cages. And I'm not, I said I wouldn't bring this up again, but I'm sorry, I got to bring it up one more time. We've moved Robin Yount off shortstop, not us. The shortstop in San Diego has gone to center field. This kid, to me, is a dynamite ball player. I like him a lot. And that's why I wanted to get your response and see if it was just me. His defense is outstanding. He has everything slow. Everything is smooth. Everything I want in the second baseman. Now I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yep.
How about a switch and we move him? He is a much better shortstop than our short. Why are we locked in stone and keeping our shortstop? Why can't we move him over to second base? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thanks, Billy. I'm going to let Kevin answer because I've had my say in this.
Yeah, well, it looks to me like Bo Bichette is your shortstop for the you know, this year and into the future. I want to get so excited about Santiago Espinal. I love what he does. I love the teammate side of it. I love, you know, he's like everybody's little brother on that team. Everybody wants to come up and give Santiago Espinal a hug because he's just that kind of player. I'm a huge fan of his too. I think he's earned the second base job. I think he is the second baseman of the future. Bo Bichette's a tricky one. For me, anyway, will be determined on exactly what the outcome of the season looks like. Now, if there's no looking like he's getting any better defensively, which I think he does, I think the only issue for me anyway with Bo is sometimes his feet doesn't catch up to where he wants to throw the baseball with his arm strength and his accuracy and all those kind of things. Just set your feet and throw and finish towards your target. That's all you got to do. He's got a strong enough arm and all those things and an accurate enough arm. It's just when he tries to throw on the run and he's trying to make plays on the run, you know, that's sort of the one thing that you have a little issue with. But I'm okay with Bo. Right now, the Blue Jays aren't losing because Bo Bichette's playing shortstop. They're losing because offensively, for whatever reason, the adjustments that they were making at the end of last year and into the middle of last year, for whatever reason, maybe it's because the guys are not here, Marcus Semien hitting in the two spot, that puts a little bit more pressure on Bo, yada, yada. Whatever the case is, the pitching's better, the shortened spring training, all the excuses that we could possibly give them, maybe those are actually the reasons why. But for me, I just would love to see them hunt the hater, hit the hater. The more they hit it, the more runs they're going to score because they're a really good fastball hitting team.
416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Lost to talk about Hyunjin Ryu is on his way back. Does he deserve to get the next start over Ross Stripling? Not that the Jays are going to pay attention to what we say, but as I said, I have much, 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 much more confidence in Ross Stripling right now than I do in Hyunjin Ryu. Kevin Gausman, yesterday, in the 8-3 win, actually gave up a base on balls. The Blue Jays in that game, 7 balls of 100 miles an hour plus against Shane Bieber. Game 2 of that series, 8-2, the one Ross Stripling started. 27 pitch first inning, went through 7 hitters, hit a couple of ground balls, back-to-back doubles by Ramirez and Miller, a misplay by Teoscar Hernandez in a strong breeze. I'm not entirely certain that was necessarily representative of the way Ross Stripling pitched. Anyhow, we can talk about that. Talk about the Jays bullpen. As I mentioned, Teoscar is back. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Matt Chapman, what do you do with him? Maybe, given the fact that the Jays are scuffling offensively, even with that 8-run outburst the other day, now that Teo's back, do we need to start the Bichette / Guerrero who bats second debate? Do we need to restart that again? 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. It's Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. All right, Mike and Vaughn, hang on to the line for a minute. We got some business to take care of here. And now the Bet365 standings update. With Bet365, you can bet in things like player props, totals, or the money line across many, many, many different sports. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Let us take a look at the American League East. Don't look now, Blue Jays fans. The Tampa Bay Rays, they have won 6 in a row, 8-2 over the last 10. They are in second place behind the Yankees. The Yankees are 19-7. The Rays 18-10. The Blue Jays 17-13. If you believe in expected win and loss, the Jays would be 14-16. Baltimore is 10-7. And the last place team in the American League East, ladies and gentlemen, the franchise formerly known as the Boston Red Sox. I take a certain amount of glee in that, Kevin. I take a certain amount of glee in that.
I can hear it in your voice.
So there you go. The Yankees are 9-1. The Rays are 8-2 in their last 10. And guess who the Jays face in the next 2 series? As my friend Mr. Barker would say, stay hot. Stay hot. You got an off day in New York, which is great. 2 against the Yankees, another off day. Then you're in Tampa. Then you are back home. And this, I think I'm going to say this, Kevin. I looked at this 4-game series against the Guardians as kind of the, boy, you know, the off days. It was going to be nice. Maybe get a little bit of a blow, get some stuff organized. Teo was coming back. I thought we were looking at them taking 3 of 4 from the from the Guardians, and then Bob's your uncle. Then you're all nice and rested, and here come the Yankees. Mike and Vaughn.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Mike. What's up, man?
Listen, I think we should give Ryu a chance. Look, I watched every single game except all but two games because obviously the Leafs were in the playoffs and it was a little challenging. But
there's no excuse. You don't have to watch the Leafs. You know they're going to win the series and go on and lose in the next round. So there's no point in watching the Leafs. There just isn't.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Exactly. That's why I turned it on. Listen, so my point is I think we should give Ryu a chance. I mean, it was obvious that when he started, you know, he looked a little off this year. Right off the hopper. I think we should give him a chance. Look, we know what he can do. He has the skill set. So giving him a chance over Stripling will definitely put us, and hopefully he comes out. I mean, we got to put him there. So that's yep. That's my take on it.
Good stuff, man. Bark, Hyunjin Ryu in AAA on Saturday, 74 pitches, 6 strikeouts, no walks, gave up a home run. Couple of unearned runs leading to an error. Look, it's pretty clear, isn't it? I mean, the Jays, all kidding aside, and yes, I would feel more comfortable with Ross Stripling starting, but you've got Hyunjin Ryu for another year and a bit. You can't use him out of the... Like, if he's here, he's got to start. If he's here and healthy, he's got to start, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Well, remember, too, they're giving him about $17 million more than Ross Stripling's going to make. That's one just this year. And then he's going to make another 20 next year. That's what, 37 million reasons more to pitch Ryu over Ross Stripling. He's going to get his chances. The question will be, how many chances? What if he has a stinker in Tampa? He's going to get another start? What if he has his next start, he has a stinker? What if he has two or three stinkers in a row? Then what do you do with him? That's the question. It's not a question for me anyway. Are they going to give him a chance to be the fifth starter? No, he's going to be the fifth starter. It's how long are they going to stick with him? If it's bad and it doesn't look like it's going to get better, forget about those stats. And was it Buffalo he pitched in? They don't know that he likes going in with the cutter and elevated with the fastball. They don't know that. American League East does know that. That's the big question for me. Can he pinpoint that location on the black and expand with the changeup? He can do that. He can start all the time for me.
So as I mentioned a little early, expected win-loss record for the Jays based on runs scored and runs allowed, they are minus 10. That translates into a 14-16 record. The Jays are 17-13. Brian in Toronto, you've got a question that I didn't think we would be asking at this point in time. I'm not even going to hint at it. I'm just going to let you go ahead and ask the question.
Okay, I acknowledge this is very early
yep.
days. By the way, I'm a huge fan of the show, guys. I love the chemistry
Thanks,
between you guys.
Thank you.
And it's always entertaining and insightful. I guess at this point of the game, and it's very early days, I mean, with all the, you got to wonder how much the guys early on were reading up on all the media or hearing all the media, American media especially, you know, touting us as taking the AL this year, and how much pressure that these guys are, if they're feeling at all at this point, and saying, "Hold, we actually, excuse my language, we've got some,
okay,
we've got
I use
some
that
holes.
Word. Don't worry about it.
We got some holes to fill, or we've got some problems. There's some, you know, chinks in the armor, so to speak." I don't know. What do you guys think in terms of that? In terms of the baseball psyche at this point, and I guess maybe it's too early to.
Yeah, no.
I appreciate
the call. I'll fire it off to Barker. Barker, what do you think? I think the question is, are the weight of expectations getting to this team?
No. First week of the season, I give it to you. Maybe they're trying too hard. They're expanding. They're overswinging. They're you know, doing things that they normally don't do. They're 30 games into this thing. to say that you know, every time that they struggle, we're going, wow, it takes you 100 at bats. No, don't take this day and age, the way these guys know their swings, the way they know timing. For me, it's about adjustments. It's how quickly these lineups make adjustments. Like the Rays, you watch the Rays hit, Jeff. They're more aggressive now early in counts because they don't want to get deeper in counts, mm-hmm. and they're getting better pitches to hit. And when they get them, they don't miss them. When you watch a Blue Jays game, what do they do? Occasionally they'll get a good pitch. They either overswing at it, they foul it off, they're late on it, which is a ton. That'll tell you, at least it tells me a lot. They guess way too much. Maybe eliminate the guessing. Maybe go up and look nothing but hater. Maybe look on the plate early in counts. If you do those things because you have everything that it takes to be a good hitter, maybe you'll give yourself a better chance to have success.
Let me ask you a dumb question. A question from someone who didn't play the game. You call them guess hitters, and I happen to think you're right. How the hell, why would you be a guess hitter when you got video coming out of the yin-yang? Like, you know what everybody throws in every count and every situation on every given day and the weather and all this stuff. You got all this data. Why are you guessing? You're going to have to explain that to me.
You answered that dumb question, as you said, with the answer. Is because they have all this video that when they walk to the plate, they're guessing, okay, if this guy throws me a first pitch breaking ball, he's not going to double up on it. He's going to throw me a sinker in because he's right-handed to get me to chase or get me looking in there to throw me an elevated fastball. Well, I'm going to lay off that one. I'm going to look for this one. And if I don't get this one, I'm going to hunt this one. That's way too much guessing. These guys throw too hard. They can locate secondary pitches way too good. For me, they're overthinking it. And the only reason I say that is whenever you watch these guys at bats, they're late on pitches that they should be hammering. When you talk about bat-to-ball skills, Jeff, the very first thing you should ever think of is when you're watching a game like Alejandro Kirk, the last couple of games, when he's been getting a pitch to hit, he's been hammering that baseball. That's what you're talking about bat-to-ball skills is whenever they get that good pitch to hit, they're not missing it. They're going to hammer it hard somewhere. How many times do you see a Blue Jays hitter do that? That will tell you that something's in between. Is it mindset? For me, the timing thing, that should be eliminated now. They're 30 games in. That's plenty enough to have timing, and now you know how pitchers are going to try and get you out. Now it's about making an adjustment. And for me, the adjustments are just not catching up to their talent, and it better hurry. Like, this rotation's been almost great. The bullpen has overachieved, you could almost say, with the names that got down there and the lack of swing and miss. The lineup, because of the way the Rays are doing now and the Yankees, we didn't think we're going to get off to this hot of a start, those two teams could run away with this thing if your offense doesn't hurry up and start making some adjustments. And I think highly of this lineup and think they can do it quicker than everybody else, but now it's time to put up or shut up.
You're going to have to explain Franmil Reyes to me. He's gone through this series. He was a guy who was hitting, I believe, under 200 coming into the series. Franmil Reyes is what? Was 9-for-14 in this series? He scored the winning run. He's a going concern.
Okay, I like that they moved him down in the order. I like it that they put him between two lefties. When you put somebody between two lefties, means that other pitcher has to do something different to a couple of guys around you. That's why we talk about balancing the lineup with the Blue Jays all the time. It's not because their hitters are not good enough. It's just you want to make that pitcher do something different so he doesn't get in such a groove that every hitter that comes to the plate, I'm doing the exact same thing. So them actually moving him down and slamming him between two lefties was almost perfect. Now all he does is go up and look for something middle away and a little elevated. He's used the entire field. He's getting a decent pitch to hit, and he's a home run hitter, and most home run hitters are very streaky, and he's just going through one of those streaks that now, no matter what the count is, he's getting barrel to baseball, and because he has so much power and the ball comes off his bat really well when he's going good, it normally finds a hole, and I just think that's sort of where he's at right now. But for me, it's just them moving him down, taking a little pressure off him, telling him that you don't have to carry the team. We're going to give you a chance to figure this thing out, and slam it between two lefties so that pitcher has to give him something else to look at. It's almost genius. Makes too much sense, almost.
Jose Ramirez would look good in the Jays uniform, wouldn't he?
Can we stop talking about that? Every time he walks to the plate, every single time, you look at the two, you look at the at bats he had against Alek Manoah. He fell behind 0-2 and had a 9-pitch at bat, and then I think it went 1-2 and he had a 7-pitch at bat. To say you could have backed up the truck and said to Cleveland, here, take what you want. If you want Nate Pearson here, you want Kevin Biggio, here you go. If you want one of my other top prospects here, the dude is second to none when it comes to both sides of the plate. What he brings defensively, he can steal a base, he can work counts, he falls behind. Do you see the weird swings he takes with two strikes, Jeff? It's on purpose. Like it's the one he took where he fell down and he fouled it off and almost went between his legs. That's on purpose. That little two-handed, he didn't even choke up, but he's not finishing his swing because he has two strikes because he's just trying to put barrel to baseball. To say that you couldn't have that stuck somewhere in the middle of your Jays lineup, holy moly. I just don't ever mention that to me again.
I promise I won't. At least not till the next time we see them play. Thanks for this, Bark. Don't forget Blair and Barker, 10 to noon Eastern tomorrow on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and on Glorious Color. High definition, I think. I don't know. On Sportsnet 360. Jays have tomorrow off. We will be back Tuesday with Blue Jays Talk. Enjoy the rest of your Mother's Day. Be nice to Mom. Give her a hug. Make dinner for her. All that good stuff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.